your Bibles this morning, Hebrews chapter number 11. This chapter is often called, or I've heard it called before, the Hall of Faith chapter. For sports, we have the Hall of Fames, and they call this the Hall of Faith. And it talks very much about different people of faith. It talks about different stories and what it was about their lives and what they endured and what they accomplished for God that caused them to be people of great faith, and kind of some of the greatest characters of faith throughout the Bible are encapsulated in this one chapter in Hebrews 11. And there's much to learn. We could preach a series on Hebrews 11, just this one chapter and all the different things that can be learned. We need to understand, what is faith? In our lives, in your life, what is faith? And this morning, the title of the message that I bring to you is Faith When You Don't Understand. What is faith? I've heard it said before, faith is simply believing without seeing. How many of you, probably almost all of us, we've flown on airplanes, and maybe some even just this past week, and you got an airplane. And when you get on an airplane, I don't know if it's your practice, it's not my practice, when I get on the airplane, to stop by the cockpit, knock on the door, and say, I'd just like to see your pilot's license real quick. I'd just like to check to make sure you really did, you know, learn how to fly a plane and all of that. I don't see it. What do I have? I have faith that the airline company, that all of the powers that be, that they are going to put somebody in there that is equipped to do that job. I believe without seeing that pilot, and I put my life into his hands. I'm there in that airplane believing that he knows how to take off, he knows how to stay in the air, and then he knows how to land. And I've been on a few flights where that trust and that faith was definitely tested at times, believing that maybe this guy doesn't know how to take off, how to fly smoothly, or how to land. But it's to believe without seeing. Another word for faith is trust. When you're reading Scripture, very often in the Old Testament, you'll find the word trust. In the New Testament, you'll find the word faith. Those are synonyms to trust and faith, and you'll find those two words, and I believe you can use them interchangeably. Faith is believing without seeing. Faith is trust. The Bible describes faith, the biblical description. It says it's the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. I agree with all of those definitions, and today I would add another definition, and that is, faith is trusting God when you don't understand. It's believing without seeing. It's the evidence of things not seen, but it's trusting God when you don't understand. That is the essence of faith. God calls on us to be, yes, we become His children through faith. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then we're kept by faith. And I don't mean kept eternally. Once you're saved, you're always saved, but it's how we live. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. It's trusting God when we don't understand. Because the truth is, to trust God when we do understand is walking by sight. If I understand all that's happening and all that's going to happen and why it's happening and how it's going to turn out, it takes no faith. I have it all figured out and it's all wrapped up in that nice little package with that bow, and it doesn't take any faith. God, I trust you, because if I understand it all, I have no reason to trust him. But faith comes in when we trust when we don't understand. Faith becomes real in our lives when we trust him without a knowledge of how a situation is going to work out in the end. How good could God possibly work this together for good? That is what takes faith. Believing him when the situation is unbelievable. That's faith. Believing God for the unbelievable. Here in Hebrews 11, we find many characters of faith. We find Abel and Enoch and Noah and others. And tonight we'll take a look at some faith, the rest of the story. But this morning we're going to take a look at the life of Abraham. And here in Hebrews 11, all of these characters you could say are some of the greatest examples of faith. God kind of encapsulates in Hebrews 11 some of the greatest examples throughout all Scripture of faith. But then within that list, within the list of the heroes of the faith, if you will, there's one who stands out above the rest, at least in the length of description and in the way that his faith is described and in the very many different ways that it's described, and that is Abraham, the father of Israel. His faith stands out above the rest as being the one that is described the most, and the most is written about him. We're going to read, if you will, several verses together. Could we stand together for the reading of God's Word? Hebrews chapter number 11. We're going to read responsively. I'll begin in verse number 8. Would you read verse number 9? We're going to go down through verse number 19. So I'll begin in verse 8, and then we'll all read together in verse 9. I'll read 10, again together in 11, all the way through verse number 19. The Bible says in verse number 8, "By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went." Verse 9. "By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure." God, I pray now you'd bless the preaching of your word. Give us something that will help us, that we can carry with us this week, is my prayer. Bless your people for making an effort to be in your house. Would you give them what they need, I ask in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Our faith is revealed when we trust God without understanding God. When you trust without understanding, what will be the evidence is in your life. How was Abraham's faith revealed in his life when he didn't understand? Again, the title of the message, Faith When You Don't Understand. What does that look like? What does faith when we don't understand? How does it bear itself out in our lives? What will it look like in your life and in mine? How do we know? We find the example here from Abraham. Abraham had multiple things in his life that God brought into his life, that God asked him to do, that were unbelievable. They were very difficult to understand, and we'll get to some of those. Why would God ask Abraham to do that? Why would God allow that situation into Abraham's life? Why would God open the door there, and why would God ask him to obey in that way? Why would he do that? And it didn't make sense. And we're going to see a few takeaways this morning from the life of Abraham. What does it look like when we trust God when we don't understand? We're going to turn back and forth because the first story, the accounting of Abraham's life and story and where all of this summary comes from in Hebrews 11, is back in Genesis. Could you put a marker there in Hebrews 11 where you're at? And could you turn with me to Genesis chapter number 12? Genesis chapter number 12. And I got a little bit ahead of myself. Once you get to Genesis 12, hold your finger there, because we're going to read one verse back in Hebrews 11. We're going to read that verse, and then I'm going to take you back to the passage where that verse takes place. So get there to Genesis 12, and I apologize. Turn back to Hebrews 11. Let's read one verse before we get back to Genesis 12. We see in verse number 8, faith when you don't understand. Verse number 8, "By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance." Now, God has a plan. It's afterwards God's going to give him this whole land. But at this time, Abraham has no idea what God's plan is. God just tells Abraham, "I need you to leave and go out into this land." I have this word circled in my Bible right in the middle of verse number 8. It says, when he was called, he obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. You see that there? God's called him, and he doesn't know what it means, and he doesn't know what's in store, and he doesn't know what it's going to look like, not knowing whither he went, not knowing God's plan and why God would ask him to do that. The Bible says he obeyed. What does faith when you don't understand look like? What did Abraham do? Number one, he obeyed when he didn't understand. He obeyed when he didn't understand. Now, if you will, hold your spot there in Hebrews 11. We're going to head back there in a minute. But Genesis chapter number 12, I want you to see the story that passage is talking about. The first few verses of Genesis 12, beginning in verse number 1, the Bible says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abraham," notice this, "get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." The Abrahamic covenant, God promising to bless the nation of Israel before it ever was a nation. Verse number 4, "So Abram departed," notice this, "Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. And Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran." At the age of 75, God calls Abram to leave his country. God calls Abram to leave his family. God calls Abram to leave his kindred, to leave everything that was comfortable. God calls him to go there. And the Bible says, going not knowing whither he went. He didn't understand everything that God had planned, but we see it in Hebrews 11, and we see it here. When God called, Abraham obeyed. That takes faith. Doing what you're supposed to do when what you're supposed to do doesn't make sense. Doing what God's word tells us to do when what God's word tells us to do isn't easy. When it would be easier to do what our heart tells us to do, when it would be easier to do what society tells us to do, when it would be easier to rest unto, to lean unto our own understanding. Oh no, but God said, "Abraham, I want you at age 75 to leave everything you know, and I want you, and I've got a plan for you, and God, I don't understand that, and I don't know what lies ahead, and I don't know where this country is, but God, I am going to obey." By the way, faith always leads to obedience. The songwriter said, "Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey." Faith always, trust always leads to obedience. What does the Bible say? Show me your faith. Faith without works is dead. You want to show me your faith? Now, we don't work to get saved. We don't earn our salvation based on, it's all by faith, but the Bible says faith always leads to obedience. And so you say, "Well, I love God and I trust God and I trust Him for everything, but I just am not willing to obey in this one area." We don't have the faith we should when we don't understand. If we have to have it all figured out before we'll obey, we're not having that faith that is described in Hebrews 11. We don't possess that faith that Abraham had. Faith without works is dead. A great indicator of our faith when we don't understand is our obedience to do what we are supposed to do, even when things aren't working out the way we would hope or like. Keep doing right when doing right seems wrong to your human mind. When you can't trace God, trust God. I think they say, and I'm not a pilot, but I think they talk about flying by your instruments. And when you get into a storm and you can't see and you don't understand where you're headed and you can't see land and you can't see this and you can't see your points, what do? You go back to your training and you fly by your instruments. You go back and you trust that the instruments will lead you the right way. The same thing happens in our Christian walk. There comes times when the Christian life and our walk gets a little foggy and it gets a little difficult, and following God, it hurts, and we don't understand, as that song said there, we don't understand, and maybe your trials are your mercies in disguise. We don't understand why you allowed this and why you did that and why you called us to do that and put that in your word. And we don't understand it. But when it gets a little foggy and it gets a little fuzzy and you can't see, and maybe you're having a hard time connecting to the control tower, you got to fly by your instruments. You got to go and do what you know is right, even when what you know is right doesn't seem right at the time. You'll find that truth borne out in the lives of many great people of faith in the Bible. What did Gideon do? Gideon was scared to answer as he was threshing wheat in the winepress. He was scared to death to follow God's calling in his life. But yet, what did Gideon do? His faith, when he didn't understand, led him to obey when God said, "I only want you to fight the battle with 300 soldiers. That doesn't make any sense. What? 300 soldiers? It'd make a whole lot more sense, God, if you give me 3,000 or 30,000. But his faith, when he didn't understand, led him to obey when he didn't understand? What about Joshua? Joshua obeyed when he didn't understand why he had to walk around the city of Jericho 7 times. Moses obeyed when he didn't understand how God could use a stutterer like him. The three Hebrew boys obeyed when they thought they may be burned alive for their obedience. That is what happens when faith, when we don't understand and we still do what we're supposed to do, that is an evidence that we have the faith that God wants us to have. That is an evidence. It's always borne out. Faith in our lives is borne out when, even when we don't understand, we still do right. When we don't feel like coming, getting to church, we still get to church. When we don't feel like living right and staying faithful in our marriage, we live right and stay faithful in our marriage. When we don't feel like getting in God's Word and allowing it to control our lives, we get in God's Word and we allow it to control our lives. That is what real faith is. Because if you only do it when you understand, you're not, God is not the God of your life, you are. If you only do it when you understand, you're walking by sight. And I've been there, and I've done it too often. But faith reveals itself when we obey, when we don't understand. That Noah obeyed when he didn't even know what a thunderstorm was. That took some faith. Hey, boys, we're going to go build a boat. Okay, why? Because the storm's coming. That's cool, Dad. What's a storm? It's rain. That's pretty neat. Dad, what's rain? They'd never had rain. It hadn't rained on the earth. The earth had a different form at that point. There was a different thing. That's neat. What's rain? Hey, guy, you think Dad's lost it? What's he talking about? The earth's gonna flood from 40 days of rain, 40 days and 40 nights. What's Dad talking about? What's going on here? But yet Noah could have said the same thing. God, you're going to destroy the earth with a flood because of rain. What? I don't understand it. And by the way, nobody around him understood either. But Noah stayed faithful and he obeyed when he didn't understand. Daniel obeyed when he didn't understand why he may have to be lion food that night. You say, I don't understand what God's doing in my life right now. Are you still obeying even though you can't see what he's doing? Are you staying faithful in your spot when it doesn't make sense? Are you being who you know you're supposed to be when it hasn't paid off? Are you being that person that you know God wants you to be? Abraham was a man of great faith. Listed in Hebrews 11, that long passage there. Why? Because the Bible, the first verse that it talks about his faith, the first description of Abraham's faith, the Bible says, when God called him out, he obeyed. Back in verse number 8. When he was called to go out, he obeyed. His faith led to obedience when God's call didn't make sense. Number 2, would you notice verse number 9 back in Hebrews 11? Verse number 9 in Hebrews 11. Would you read the first 4 words of Hebrews 11, 9 with me aloud? Ready? Begin. By faith, he sojourned. We don't use that word a lot. Hey, honey, I think I'm going to sojourn at the house for a little while here. And are you going to be sojourning at work much longer? We don't use that word today. Sojourn simply means he stayed. It took faith to do this. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Number 2, our faith is born out in our lives. We see it in Abraham's life. He stayed when he didn't understand. When God called him out of a country that was comfortable, and God called him there, and he didn't understand all that God was doing, he stayed where he was supposed to be. He stayed even though he didn't understand it. It didn't seem like the promise was being fulfilled at that point. He didn't have children, and his family wasn't multiplying. And he was 75 when he left. We're talking about decades before that promise that God gave him starts to come to fruition. He was 75 when he left his country. He didn't have a child till he was almost 100. That's a long time to trust God when he didn't understand. But that's what faith causes us to do. So we see, and the Bible lists it there, just the fact that he stayed where he was supposed to be when he didn't understand all that God was doing in his life was an evidence of great faith. We do the opposite, don't we? When we don't understand things, our human tendency is what? To run. I don't understand what's going on in marriage, I'm going to run. I don't understand what's going on here, I don't understand what's going on there. Our human tendency, when we don't understand what God's doing in our lives, I'm going to back away from God. Well, I tried to live for God for a while, and he didn't come through for me, and he didn't answer this prayer, and he didn't show himself strong in the way that I thought he should and on the timetable that I thought he should. I'm sure Abraham didn't always enjoy the decades of waiting, the decades of staying there. And God promised, when you leave, I'm going to do these great things. We saw that in Genesis 12, but that was when he was 75. And his 80th birthday came, and his 85th, and his 90th, and we have all this time that's passing, and God, I obeyed. Wait a second. And we do that, don't we? God, I tried to live for you. God, I gave that Christian life a try. I tried to make those changes. I tried to listen to your word. When the preacher said that, I tried to live that way. And look at what it got where it got me. Look what it got me into. And then we say, you know what? Forget that. I'm done. Oh, no. That's where faith when you don't understand comes in. You stay when you don't understand. You stay where you're supposed to be. By the way, you remember in Genesis 12, the Bible mentioned one family member that came with him. It said Abram and Lot came with him. Guess what happens? In the midst of this, before all of this happens, Lot leaves him. And he still stayed. Family, loved ones left. He stayed where he was supposed to be. Abraham stayed when he didn't understand. It was during his sojourning that he and Lot split up and Lot moved into Sodom. Even when he parted ways with loved ones, he stayed where he was supposed to be. He stayed. He didn't run. Remember the Israelites at the crossing of the Red Sea? Right before that, their faith had led them to a place that they didn't understand. Remember that God delivered them, the 10 plagues, y'all remember that? And in Exodus, the 10 plagues, lice and boils and water to blood and the death of the firstborn and frogs and all those things, whatever other plagues there were that you memorized in Sunday school as a kid. Remember those 10? And by faith, God delivered them with a strong and mighty hand. And they obeyed and they left their homeland and they left, not really their homeland, but they left Egypt. They left what had been home for them. And they left their country. And they get out and they're praising God and they're worshiping and everything's wonderful. We obeyed when we didn't understand and God led us here. And they come to the Red Sea. And all of a sudden they turn around. And the strongest army on the face of the earth is bearing down on them. And Pharaoh decided, wait a second, I just lost a whole lot of free laborers. I just lost the best workforce I had. We're bringing those guys back. We need them. And so the strongest army in the world is coming. And you know what they wanted to do? The Israelites wanted to run. They began to complain. They began to murmur. Moses, it would have been better if we could go back to Egypt. You brought us out here to kill us. We should go back to Egypt. But they tried to figure it out and manipulate. And you know what God said if you go? I think it's Exodus 14, verse number 13. You don't need to turn there. You can look at it later. But when they get to this place, the Bible says they come to the Red Sea and they couldn't go back because the army was coming. And they looked to the left and they were boxed in there. They couldn't go to the left to flee. And they couldn't go to the right to flee. And you know what God's plan was when they didn't understand what God was doing? God gave them six little words that I think are still a great formula for me and you when God brings us to a place, a Red Sea moment in our life, when it feels like God has left us to die, when it feels like he's forgotten all about where we are, and we come to that place in our lives, he gives a six-word little formula to them, and he says, fear ye not. Exodus 14, 13, I think it is. Fear ye not. What is he saying? Trust when you don't understand. And then here's what he says. The next two words, and this goes so contrary to who we want to be when the trials of life come. He says, stand still. What? Trust me. Okay, God, I can do that. Now I'm trusting you. Now, you know, turn the GPS on and tell us where to go. We got to get out of this mess. God, did you see? They're coming to kill us. And you know what God said? When it seems like you need to run, stand still. Trust me when you don't understand. Stand still. And then, after those five words, God gives them the sixth word. He says, fear ye not, stand still. And then, once you've stayed when you didn't understand, he says, and see the salvation of the Lord. He said, if you'll just stay where you're supposed to be and do what you're supposed to do and trust me when you don't understand, I will come through. I will show myself strong. I will deliver you. I will guide you. I will give you what you need. I will open up that Red Sea. And we're going to talk tonight. I'm not talking about a prosperity gospel. I'm not talking about a magic genie God. I'm not saying that. We'll see that tonight. Faith, the rest of the story. But I do see that pattern. It's still true in our lives. And that's what Abram did. He trusted God. Fear you not. He went out. But not only did he obey when he didn't understand, he stayed when he didn't understand. By faith, it took faith to sojourn. If it didn't, God wouldn't have put it in Hebrews 11. It took faith to stay there. Undoubtedly, Abraham wanted to figure it out. God, my life is wasting away here. 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. I got to figure this thing out. I got to go somewhere. I got to do something. God, let me go back home. What's going on? I don't understand your timing. I don't understand your ways. I don't understand your purposes. And you know what God says more often than not to you and to me? Fear ye not. Stand still. And then you'll see. See, because when we're to be still and know that I am God. When we get active and we're trying to figure it all out ourselves, God says, well, if that's what you, I shouldn't say that, but at times it seems as though God then allows us, okay, you don't want to trust me, then we're going to see how it works out on your own. And that sounds wrong. I don't want to be irreverent. God is not looking to do wrong to us. I shouldn't say it that way. But at times, we can take the controls from God, can't we? We take the reins of our own life away from God, don't we? And you know what we need to do sometimes when we come to that Red Sea? I don't understand it, God. If you don't come through soon, it's all over. I tried to trust you and tried to obey. I can't figure it out. But God, we see the evidence of great faith when we don't understand. He stayed when he didn't understand. Stay, don't run from your family, from God, from wherever God has you. When you don't understand God, have enough faith to obey and to stay. Would you look at the next illustration of great faith? Verse number 11. Verse number 11, so we have by faith Abraham obeyed, by faith he sojourned or he stayed. Verse number 11, it says, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. That's the miracle story of Isaac being born after Abraham tries to take matters into his own hands and Sarah does as well, and he takes Hagar and we get Ishmael, that child of sight, if you will, that child of man trying to figure it out. That's when Ishmael's a picture of when we mess things up on our own because we can't trust God and his plan. But eventually they got to a place where they trusted God. And by the way, it's not my message, but just a little commercial here. Isn't it interesting? That failure is not mentioned anywhere in Hebrews 11. I love that picture of God's mercy and forgiveness, and it's not talked about there. But what happened when they didn't understand? I want you to go back, holding your hand here in Hebrews 11. Let's head back to Genesis. Genesis chapter number 15. The story of Sarah, Abraham and Sarah, when God told them they were going to have a child. Hebrews chapter number 15, verse number 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Again, trust me, Abraham, when you don't understand. Fear not, trust. Faith is the opposite of fear. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, behold to me, thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. Basically, Abram is saying to God, God, I don't understand what you're doing. You've said you're going to multiply me. You said you're going to make a great nation of me, and I have no kids. And God, I'm not trying to figure this all out, but I'm just going to, you know, I'm trying to let you understand it's not working. I can't have a great nation come from my family when I don't have a family. What are you doing? I don't understand, God. Verse number 4, behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. Verse number 6, and he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? I want you to see, when Abram didn't understand, look at what he did in verse number 2. And Abram said, Lord God. Notice what he did in verse number 8. And he said, Lord God. Now turn over two chapters, chapter number 17. I know we're looking at a lot of scripture this morning. I believe it'll be a help to you. Notice chapter 17, verse number 1. And Abram, when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. He's 99 now. And I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. That makes no sense. He's 99. God said, I'm going to give you a whole bunch of kids. That doesn't make sense. And notice what Abram did when he didn't understand. Verse number 3. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thee be called any more Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. Did you see that listing of Sarah having a baby? Did you see what Abraham did in verse number 1 in chapter 15, verse number 3, verse number 2, verse number 3 in chapter 17? What did he do when he didn't understand? He prayed when he didn't understand. It lists the great faith that Sarah had to conceive in her old age. You know how they got there? How Abraham got the faith to trust God when it made no sense? He came, the Bible says, and he talked to the Lord. and he fell on his face before the Lord, and he talked to the Lord, and the Lord talked to him. When you don't understand, and when I don't understand, what do we need to do? We need to pray when we don't understand. Abraham didn't know how God would perform his promise, but they believed, yes, after some doubt, and even heroes of the faith have episodes of doubt. But what did he do? As the songwriter said, take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. So often, if we're not careful, we take our burdens, and when we don't understand what God's doing, you know where we turn to self, we turn to sin, we turn to Facebook, we turn everywhere else but to God. Well, God didn't answer my prayer, so I quit on him. God didn't answer Abraham's prayer for a long time, but when Abraham didn't understand, instead of trying to go find out here or there or everywhere, he went straight to God and said, God, how can this be? God, would you show me your will? God, would you make yourself strong? God, would you show me your way? And he talked to God, and God, in turn, talked to him. Faith is trusting when we don't understand. We've learned three things that Abraham's faith revealed itself, three ways that it revealed itself when he didn't understand. What did he do? First, he obeyed. He kept doing what he was supposed to do when it made no sense. Number two, he stayed. He didn't run. Number three, he prayed. Number four, back to Hebrews 11. I believe we'll stay in Hebrews 11 now the rest of the service. Hebrews 11, verse number 17. This one's a tough one. Would you read verse number 17 aloud with me? Ready? Begin. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. He gave when he didn't understand. Think about it. Decades of waiting, and God has finally shown himself strong. I shouldn't say it that way, but God has fulfilled the promise. God had showed himself strong before that. But he's fulfilled the promise. The miracle child was born. Think about the joy, the excitement, the love. And then the God that made the promise and the God that fulfilled the promise now asks him to sacrifice the son of promise. I don't understand that one. By faith, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. By faith, he gave when he didn't understand. God has promised him and everything is going good for him. And now, God is asking you to sacrifice the very gift that he miraculously gave you. Have you ever faced a situation where it seemed that God was removing the very thing he had blessed you with, and God asked him for the hardest possible thing to give? He gave what God asked for, regardless of the circumstances or consequences. And by the way, in that situation, and this is another message for another Sunday, but God led him to the lowest possible point before he delivered him. He asked him for Isaac, and it wasn't when Abram said, okay, yes, God, and he began to walk out the door with Isaac that God provided a lamb. And it wasn't when they got to the place with the servants and they got to the mount where he was going to offer him, it wasn't that God provided a lamb. And it wasn't on the journey where he thought, maybe these are the last moments I'm going to spend with my only begotten son, Isaac. That wasn't when God offered himself a lamb. And it wasn't when his son said, behold the wood and behold the fire, but where is the lamb? It wasn't when he said that God offered himself a lamb. But Abraham, by faith, said God will provide himself a lamb. But it took him to go all the way until he was laying down on the table. His son was right before him, ready to be sacrificed, and the knife was in his hand, and his arm was raised, and then God, we would say that's too late, but then God provided himself a lamb. By the way, God was not looking for the sacrifice of a son in that story. God was looking for the sacrifice of a father's heart. God was not looking to see a son sacrificed. God was looking to see, is that father sacrificed? Is he giving his all to me? He wasn't asking for the ultimate sacrifice from Isaac. He was asking Abraham to be willing to make the ultimate sacrifice when he didn't understand. You may want to tuck this thought away. Faith requires dependence, not deliverance. Faith requires dependence. That's what faith is, giving, obeying, staying, praying when we don't understand. You see, what we want to do, we believe, we say, okay, God, I'll believe you once I've been delivered. God says, believe me and you'll be delivered. Fear you not, stand still and see. We say, I'll believe God when he's shown himself strong. God says, I'll show myself strong when you believe me. When he has showed me how he's working, then I'll believe him. Abraham said, I believe God before he shows me how he's working. That is what makes his faith so noteworthy. That is why he has the longest passage, in my opinion, of in Hebrews chapter number 11, because he said, God, when I don't understand how you're working, I still believe you. I don't understand why you're working in this way, but I still trust you. I don't understand why this came into my life and why that prayer was answered that way and why that one didn't get answered the way I wanted it to and why we walked this journey. I don't understand all of that, but God, as Job said, the Lord giveth and he taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's giving when you don't understand. So how does faith reveal itself in our lives? We obey when we don't understand. We do right when doing right seems wrong. We stay when we don't understand. Stay where we're supposed to be. Stay faithful. God will honor it. We pray when we don't understand. We give when we don't understand. And lastly, he never strayed when he didn't understand. What do I mean by that? Verse number 19. Verse number 19, this is an amazing verse. It wasn't just that Abraham believed that God would provide a lamb while they walked up the mountain. Notice verse number 19, how strong his faith was. Accounting that God was able to what? Raise him up even from the dead. Even if he had gone through and killed his son, his faith was not going to waver. He was going to believe that God could still show himself strong when there was no human way, humanly possible way to fix that situation. That's how strong Abraham's faith was. God, when it seems like it's impossible to fix it, I still believe that you're there. I still believe that you're real. I still believe that you're true. Isn't that the faith that the three Hebrew boys showed us? Hey, what did they say? They said, our God is able to deliver us. That's some great faith. You're going to throw us into the fiery furnace? Our God is able to deliver us. What did they say? Three little words. But if not, we will not bow. What is that? That's faith that doesn't stray, even when we don't understand. Oh, I believe God can fix the situation, and if he doesn't, I still believe him. That's that next level of faith, isn't it? I like to believe God as long as you fix it, but when it becomes unfixable, that's when it's, oh, I don't know if I can keep believing now. That's what great faith looks like. Even when the situation doesn't get fixed, our faith never wavers. How would you respond if you found yourself in a situation where your child was about to die and God didn't provide a lamb? Would you, like Abraham, be willing to have the faith that says, I account that God is able to raise him up even from the dead? Abraham never wavered. Like Paul in Acts 20:24, he said, but none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself. I'm not going to allow any of these things to get me off track in my walk and my work for God. None of these things move me. So what situation do you face today that you don't understand? What trial or heartache seems impossible for God to work together for good? May I suggest to you this morning, you've listened well, those situations, those are the times when our faith is truly revealed. That's when our faith is truly put into action. That's when our faith becomes noteworthy. That's when our faith is differentiated from everybody can trust God, so to speak, when there's no reason to trust him. But what about when trusting him doesn't turn out the way we thought it would? That's when faith comes in. It was those times in Abraham's life that show us the great faith he possessed. When God asked him to leave his homeland at age 75, he obeyed. When God asked him to stay in that far country, when his family left, when Lot went to another place, he stayed. When God told him he was going to give him a child, but it took years and years and years, and they were well past age, you know what he did when he didn't understand? He prayed. And when God asked him to give the only begotten son that he had given him, her only begotten son, I should say, when God asked them to sacrifice that, he gave when he didn't understand. And even if he hadn't provided a lamb, he said, my faith will not waver. I'm not straying from God. I account that he's still faithful. He's still able. He's still powerful. No matter, though, as Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. That's what real faith looks like in your life and in mine. We get off track so easily, don't we? The song says, I shall not be moved, just like a tree planted by the waters. But so easy we get moved. Why? Because when God doesn't come through in the way we want him to, at the time we think he should, then our faith wavers. Let us learn from Abraham. As we have seen in this rich passage, let's seek to obey when we don't understand. Keep doing what's right. Somebody's watching. Let's seek to stay when we don't understand. Let's seek to pray when we don't understand. Let's seek to give. And let's seek, God, would you give me that faith that Abraham, the three Hebrew boys that Job had, even when it seems impossible, help me never to stray. When it's our time for God to call us home, could we have an obituary written somewhat like Abraham? He was a man, she was a man, that by faith, when they didn't understand, they still lived for him. Every head bowed and every eye closed.